Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Mark chapter 1, verses 9, 10, 11 of Mark chapter 1, which is dealing with the baptism of Jesus. And there's a lot of interesting things here that we're going to find in these three verses. A lot of symbolism that we're going to find in this. And the reason that Jesus was baptized, we're going to talk about that. Several things here that we want to discuss. We'll go ahead and read our text. Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Heavenly Father, thank you for the scripture tonight. Help us in this Bible study, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The baptism of Jesus is something very important in your Bible doctrinally. And you'll see why I say that here in just a minute. But it's mentioned in all three of the synoptics. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention it to some extent. Mark does not go into many details like Matthew does. Matthew goes into much more detail, in which we'll be looking at some of his text tonight. And, of course, Luke does too. Now, John doesn't really mention the baptism. He does mention that John saw the Spirit descending upon Jesus. But he doesn't mention actually going through the baptism with John. But the first three of the Gospels do. Now, I don't know if I mentioned it last Wednesday or not, but the Gospel of Mark, many believe to be the very first Gospel that was written. Believed to be written around 50 A.D., between 50 and 60 A.D. Some believe that Matthew was the first gospel written, and he possibly could have been. It's really hard to tell, but if Mark is the oldest gospel, or the first one written, that is, then he doesn't go into as many details, of course, we know, as we talked about last week. Matthew and Luke both are written to the Jewish audience, and he goes into great detail, both of them go into great detail, and length about the history of Jesus and his bloodline and all that, and specifically talking about things that would pertain to the Jew more than anything else. Whereas Mark is speaking to more of a Gentile audience, those that are in Rome, and wanting them to understand the gospel in its most basic sense. And so he's given the information that's needed to be able to know who Jesus is, understand you're a sinner, lost, bound for hell, need to be saved. And he introduces Jesus and he gives us the what Jesus did. And but he's bare bones. The gospel is bare boned here, but much, much in there. So here it says in those days, there in verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass in those days." Those days is referring to the days that John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. It was really the peak of his ministry. We don't know how long John had a ministry. That's one thing the Bible does not reveal to us. Now, we all know that John was the cousin of Jesus, 6 months older than Jesus. He was born 6 months before Jesus. And so there are some people that lean toward the fact that maybe John's ministry was this 6 months and that it started when he was 30 years old. Because Jesus' earthly ministry that we read about in the Bible began when he was 30 years old. The priest in the Old Testament and Levitical law, they began their work when they were 30 years old. And so a lot of people believe that John the Baptist was 30 and had 6 months before Jesus came preaching there in the wilderness. We can't say that dogmatically. We cannot, because the Bible don't say that. He could have perhaps had this ministry for many, many years. We know he's had it long enough for everybody to hear in all the regions of Judea and Jerusalem and all around there. And so we can't tell exactly how long John has been preaching in the wilderness, but it's been enough time. It's now time that God has now sent Jesus there for him to start on his earthly ministry. And so we know John's ministry is over. His announcing of the Messiah, because now the Messiah has come. Because when John's standing there on the banks of the Jordan, he points and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world." That's the recognition that this is the one I've been preaching about. And so we don't know how long John preached there, but it says in those days that he was out there in the wilderness preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River. Now, there was a lot of people that came out for John's baptisms. Mark does not give us much detail at all about the number of people or who all came or who was present or anything like that. But Matthew does. Listen to what Matthew says over in Matthew 3, 5 through 7. He says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And so right here, Matthew is mentioning all these people. Do you see that? Those of Jerusalem, all of Judea, all the region around about Jordan. And we see the religious leaders there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, had come to his baptism. Now, one thing that you're going to find a stark contrast between how John talked to the religious leaders and how he talked to Jesus. Very different. When the religious leaders come out there, what does he do? He calls them vipers. And, you know, he's real huffy with them. I mean, he's to the point. Listen, these men are supposed to be God's men. They're supposed to be godly men. They're supposed to be sons of God. But we all know from reading the Bible that they didn't even know who God was. Jesus told them their father was the devil, in fact. And so they were more about keeping law and order and all these things than they were really about the Lord. And so when they approach John there at his baptism, he just looks at them and calls them vipers. And we know eventually this led to his head being removed because he was so bold. He stood and preached in front of the king and pointed in his face and told him what he was doing was wrong. And so we know eventually John was martyred because of his stand and his boldness. And so Jesus comes. It says Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, we saw in our studies last time that Jesus was actually brought up in the area of Nazareth of Galilee, up in the northern section there of Israel. It's about 90 miles from where he was born, down in Bethlehem of Judea. But here, where they're baptizing at, is somewhere right outside of Jerusalem. Probably Bethany is where they're at right now, at the Jordan, around Bethany. Which is about a 70-mile trek from Galilee down to where they're baptizing. And so this was about a five-day walk. As long as conditions were good, it took Jesus about 5 days to walk there. And that's where he come from. He comes from his home place there in Nazareth of Galilee. The people in that area were not highly looked upon. They were not looked upon very well. They had mixed and mingled with some Gentiles up in that area, along with those Samaritans that were in between them and Judea. And they had a bad name. There were a lot of rough characters up there. In fact, one of the disciples said, "Can anything good come out of there?" So we know they had a bad name, but Jesus is coming. And by the way, when we see Jesus come on the scene right here, this is the first thing he's going to speak in just a little bit. And it'll be the first time we hear him speak in the scripture from when he was 12 years old until he's 30 years old. And so that time period in between 12 and 30, we don't hear anything from Jesus. It's, I guess, a preparation time for when God was preparing him for this particular time. And so Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. And he came for the specific purpose of finding John. This had to be the very first thing that Jesus did. He didn't go and call the disciples first. He didn't go and fast in the wilderness first. He didn't go and perform these miracles we read about first. He first went to John, and because this is the way that the plan had to be laid out. John was the forerunner. He was the one that was announcing his coming. So this is going to be his calling out here into the ministry. And so he comes for this specific purpose of being baptized by John. And like Mark doesn't provide all of the dialogue that went on between Jesus and John. There was some things said between them before the baptism. Mark just goes straight into it. And he says, you know, and was baptized with John the Jordan. Well, there was some more things that happened right in there that is very interesting. If you want to look at it in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. We find the running dialogue between Jesus and John, and we see that John does not want to baptize Jesus. For a good reason, by the way. It wasn't that he was just wanting to refuse it, but he didn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. Look at it, Matthew 3 and 13. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Nobody else is going to be able to baptize Jesus, by the way. It had to be John. "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." So there was a little bit of resistance from John right here. John recognizes who Jesus is. He knows that he's sinless. And he knows that his baptism is for sinners. That's what John's baptism, it's repentance. It's repentance of your sin. Remission of sins is what you're baptized unto in John's baptism. And he knows that. And so when the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God comes and says, I need you to baptize me, John's like, well, hang on a minute now. That's not how it works. You're not a sinner, but I am. So if anybody here is going to baptize anybody, you need to baptize me because I'm a sinner. And notice that Jesus does not say, no, John, you're not a sinner or anything like that. Jesus knows he's a sinner. And John knows he's a sinner. But Jesus says to suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us. Do you see that word us? That's interesting right there. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, him and John. John has a hand in God's plan right here. God is specifically set John apart in this ministry for this purpose. And so Jesus said, it becometh us, me and you, John. This is how the Father wants it to be done. And so he also says he's going to fulfill all righteousness. Now that's something that we wonder about. And everybody always asks, well, why did Jesus get baptized? I mean, he didn't have to get baptized. He wasn't a sinner. He didn't repent of any sins. He didn't have to be forgiven of anything. But yet he went and told John that it had to be. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fill all righteousness. But Jesus is righteous. And so it's confusing to some people. But it says that John's baptism was for the remission of sins. So why did Jesus ask John to baptize him? Well, he answers that question. He says, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So the reason John baptized him was to fulfill all righteousness. Well, that's a great answer, but what does that mean? All right, all righteousness is found in Christ. He's righteous. Everything about him, everything that he did, everything that he said, every act that he performed, every miracle, everything Jesus did was righteous. But he had to fulfill all righteousness. To properly understand that, you got to look at some other verses in the Bible. For instance, in Matthew 5 and 17 through 18, Jesus said this. He said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." There's that word again, fulfilled. And so when Jesus came, he had to fulfill some things. He fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law. All of these things had to be fulfilled for Jesus to be who he was. And who is he going to be? He's going to be prophet, he's going to be priest, and he's going to be king. He's going to be all those things. And so all of this has to come about. Part of the law that Jesus is fulfilling here was, of course, becoming the final priest, the great high priest. He's the final one. There's never going to be another priest after Jesus.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.